The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing too. Welcome to Porch Talk. Today we're sitting on the porch of Sherry Ashley here in Colonial Beach. For those who haven't heard the show yet, which is probably everyone because we've never done it before, we sit on the porch and just have a little conversation about people here in Colonial Beach. And Sherry, you've lived in this house for how long?
12 years in this house, and then we had another house that we bought just for a weekend place down further on the point by the old Lions Club, and we were in that house for 3 years.
Right, the community center, as we call it now.
Yes, the current community center across the street from that, yeah.
And what, so that was a weekend place. What brought you here? What was that?
Well, after we got rid of all the kids to college, we sold our house in Alexandria and decided to live in an apartment in Crystal City because we wanted to have a lot of fun. And it was a blast. But we bought the house down here as a weekend house, tiny little thing, 540 square feet. And we called it the Dinghy.
I love that name.
Yeah. And it's still named the Dinghy. We sold it. We sold it in December, finally, after not wanting to get rid of it all these years. And they kept the name the Dinghy.
Cute.
But we would come down here on the weekends, and after about 6 months, we were like, we don't want to go back to Alexandria. So in less than a year, we had moved down here.
Wow.
And we were living in 540 square feet, waiting to build on. We lived in that house for 3 years and decided to hold off on building on, and we bought the house that we currently have on Lossing. Liked it so much, we just stayed here.
So the original plan was to build the Dinghy bigger.
Yeah,
we
were going to build out the whole Dinghy and keep the original as a guest house. And then the prices started fluctuating on construction material and things because of hurricanes and...
Well, that's right. I remember you telling me
Hurricane
that
Katrina and things like that. So it went really, really high. So we thought we would just wait a while, but we couldn't live in 540 square feet any longer.
Mm.
So we bought this house.
And the same time that I think construction materials were really pricey, houses were actually not.
No. Well, they had just started going down in value a little bit. I still think it took a full two years for it to totally drop down completely to the level that it went down at its lowest.
Right. Right.
But, you know, there was also the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and that was taking a lot of building materials, too.
Wow.
So there were a lot of reasons the cost went up, and it significantly increased the price of what we were going to build, so we thought we'd wait. And then we came here. We're one block from the beach, one block from downtown. We love it, so we decided not to build on.
Right.
We just kept that house and family used it.
It made a nice guest house.
It was a great guest
mother-in-law house.
Yes, it was. We could get rid of guests if we wanted to, and they went over there to stay. And I really still never wanted to get rid of it, but I didn't have a good excuse to keep it.
Yeah.
And so finally we bit the bullet. We put it on the market and sold it within a couple months.
Well, cool. Now, so before that you were in Alexandria, I guess, did you do the Colonial Beach to D.C. commute for a while?
No, actually, I jokingly said to Bob, who was working at the Navy Annex at the time, maybe you can get transferred to Dahlgren. 2 weeks later, he's working at Dahlgren.
Done.
And I am the one who is still, to this day, commuting back and forth to Northern Virginia.
Mm. That's one thing I don't... Oh, all that time in the car, yuck.
Fortunately, where I'm now, I only have to go to Rockville 2 days a week, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Before, it was Ballston every day, and that was tough, but now I get to work from home, watch the birds in the bird feeder. In nice weather, I can work on the front porch and look at the water.
And Bob's officially retired now.
Bob retired I think about 5 years ago.
But you keep him busy.
I do. He's the housewife now. He does everything. Yeah, he's busy, and I always have my honey-do list for him. And
I was thinking more along the lines of projects, because I always see him out with his table saw and whatnot, making some new piece of wood for you.
Yes, yes. There's always a list of two or three things that he'll pick and choose when he wants to do them. But the list is there. If there's no list, he won't think about it. So
got to keep him out of trouble.
But he's always building. He's known as Bob the Builder. And if anybody remembers that cartoon show, Bob the Builder.
Oh, yeah.
But he's got all his supplies. And he was disappointed the other day. He went to Home Depot to buy something for the next project, and there was no power tool he didn't already have, so he couldn't buy a new power tool. So now I guess he's set.
He's got everything there is, and I know that for a fact because I've borrowed a few of them.
That's what neighbors are for.
Yep, and one of the great things about Colonial Beach. So I remember when we first moved here, actually the funny story, I remember when we first moved here, I think I cut myself or something like that, but it was just a minor scratch or something. And you were like, "Do you need help? I was an RN." and I said, "No, I don't think so. And you said, "If it doesn't involve broken bones or bodily fluids, I'm not interested."
No, it's the three B's.
The three B's?
Yeah, broken bones, blood, or barf.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I used to tell my kids, too. Because you work in the emergency room for so long, you get desensitized. So if they wanted to stay home from school, they had to at least have blood, a broken bone, or barf.
Oh, okay.
That was the rules.
So a little scratchy throat wouldn't cut it.
No, that didn't cut it. No, didn't have time for those little piddly things. Yeah. Yeah, you being our neighbors has enlightened the neighborhood so much. There's always comedy involved.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I love sitting at my dining room table and watching out the window at the funny things that Chris does and his little antics. I always catch him doing something, and then I have to raise the window and say, "I saw that."
Well, that was the weekend we moved in was the most famous of those.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. I guess there were bees on the front porch.
Yes.
And
so we had just closed on the house, and we were sweeping up the front porch, and there was some little piece of tchotchke on the wall of the front porch, and Chris swatted it with the broom because it had cobwebs on it, and bees came out of it. It had a nest in it.
And Chris danced so nicely. He ran out into the yard, and he was jumping and flailing around and everything, and I was going to try and be nice about it. I just couldn't help myself. I waited and I waited and I just had to do it. So I threw the window open and I said, "I saw that." And it's been something we've laughed about ever since.
Yeah, he tells that story all the time. I think the way he tells it is you say, "I saw that." That's the kind of thing you don't want anybody else to see, but I saw that.
And there have been a lot of them since then. He's quite entertaining when he's working in the garden.
I had no idea. Yeah. I guess I need to watch it more often. That story I know, but
yeah.
Although he has told me a few other stories about snakes, which are always fun to find in the garden.
And yeah, we had this huge plastic rat that was about 10 inches tall, and we had it for Halloween for some reason or whatever. And I went over there when you guys weren't home one time, and I put it down by where he turns on the hose.
Oh, no.
So when you got here for the weekend, the first thing he did was he went over to turn on the hose to water his plants, and that plastic rat was down there. And he jumped pretty good on that one, too. Yeah.
He never told me that story.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
I've never seen the rat since either, so I don't know if he...
He doesn't know you put it there.
Oh, he doesn't?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Because he would have told me. I think you just let the cat out of the bag then.
Oh.
You might be in trouble.
Yeah. And we go back and forth quite a bit on different little gags and stuff. We enjoy you as neighbors.
Thank you. We enjoy you guys too. You've been great to us. Oh, my. What else was I thinking of when we first moved in? So you started telling us about some of your RN days. Am I remembering this right? You like jumped out of airplanes or something?
Oh, when I first got out of nursing school, I worked with the International Red Cross. And I went overseas to hurricanes, wars, earthquakes, all kinds of things, and basically lived out of a bag. And we went down to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and we were taught survival training and how to jump out of airplanes with tents and all that kind of stuff. And,
wow.
And so there were a couple of places that we went into. We couldn't land airplanes yet. Armenia was one with the earthquake. And so we went out the back of the, I think it was C-130 or something.
Big ones,
yeah, where they push all the stuff out the back, and then we followed it down in parachutes.
Wow.
And stuff went out. That was with the 101st Airborne.
Wow.
Back then.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
And so you basically just had whatever they threw off the back of the plane and what was on your back in terms of medical supplies and food.
Yeah,
and water,
well, it was quite extensive. I mean, yeah, they set up whole hospitals and everything.
Right. Wow. So, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And you'd do that for probably months while they recovered
from
whatever.
Yeah, there were times that I was gone for 2 weeks. There were times that I was gone for 2 or 3 months, depending on where and how close to home I was, and how bad the situation was. But it was really quite the experience.
I'll bet.
Quite the experience.
Blood, barf, and bones.
Yeah, pretty much. I spent time in Africa, in the Middle East, Mexico. A lot of different places. It's very interesting.
This is exactly what this show is supposed to be about. Is like, you know, I know Chris had mentioned that, but you and I had never talked about that. And it's such a fascinating thing. You just don't know who your neighbors are and what they've done in their lives until
you
start.
It was a long time ago. I was quite a bit younger.
But that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And then I came back and worked in emergency rooms for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you deployed at a place like that, so then, obviously, they can't land planes, so they can't come get you. So how do you get home in that situation? Am I being naive here?
By the time we were there for a little while, I mean, it was usually, we were there within 24 hours.
Okay,
so within
really
a week
fast.
Or two, a lot of times there was some kind of transportation. So if the airports weren't open, then we would chopper to a closer airport landing.
Mm.
Or something like that to get home.
Because I would think even out there, if you had some really bad medical cases, you might end up evacuating people.
If you could.
Yeah,
if you could. Huh. If you couldn't, you just did what you could there.
Right.
It was triage. It was trauma.
Right.
So
I'm thinking MASH here.
It, in a way, yeah, operating rooms and everything.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of that stuff, you know, came with the military. When we would send, you know, it was all on Air Force planes that would take us over with supplies and stuff. And it meant a lot of times the military was deployed to support the effort.
Mm.
So that's how, you know,
disaster
a lot of that.
Relief.
But then the International Red Cross has its own cadre of equipment and things like that. So sometimes we just need to get there.
Right.
And we didn't have to take equipment. It was already there.
Wow.
Or on its way while we were on it.
Right.
Way.
Right.
Yeah.
And were there ever times where maybe the military was there for your security because you were worried about that?
No. Not really. I mean, the other countries had their own military and security, and they would be on, I guess, what we call when they lock down a town and stuff like that, and they patrol and things. But not usually the U.S. military would be strictly for support of equipment and things like that. But it wasn't really any, you know, holding guns and walking patrol and things.
Right.
That would always
and where,
be somebody
where were you
else.
Living, like when you came back to the States, I guess, from that, or when you weren't deployed for various disasters, where were you living at the time?
Well, at Mommy's house when I was really, really young. And then, you know, after I was married, I still did this.
Okay.
And I would be gone here and there and everywhere. So I would just be gone for less. I wasn't gone for months at a time
right.
at that point. I would be gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I would just come home.
And but was it? And what state were you living in then?
Florida and Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were you married to Bob then, or?
No, I was
first
married
husband, yeah?
to my first husband then. Yeah. And I was still doing it when I met Bob.
Okay.
But not for much longer after that. It got a little bit too much after a while.
Mm.
security was different, things were different on the front
well,
in other countries.
Well, physically and emotionally grueling.
Yeah, I suppose. I didn't really think much about that, but I think that after I met Bob, I still went for a couple of years, and then I just stopped altogether. My kids were older. I started thinking more about what happened if something happened to me.
Right.
Whereas when you're younger, you don't think about those things.
True enough.
So, yeah.
So where were you and Bob living? Bob was in the Navy, obviously, because he was in the Navy a long
time.
Bob
was in the Navy and stationed in D.C. I was living in Tampa, Florida, and he came down to Florida, and we met while he was down there.
Okay.
And spent a year and a lot of money on phone calls and a lot of money on plane tickets back and forth.
Back when long distance actually cost money.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of dollars a month. And then I moved to D.C.
Mm.
And that's when I was working at hospitals.
Okay.
So I just came up here and got a job at a hospital.
Okay. Which is, yeah, RNs are in high demand, so it probably wasn't hard for you
to
do
it
that.
Wasn't. You can pretty much get a job at an ER anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And that's, so you guys were living in Virginia, working in the D.C. area, and then found Colonial. How did you find Colonial Beach?
It was an accident. We were actually looking down in the Roanoke area at that big lake down there. I forget the name of it. And we were going to buy down there, and we were 1 week away from signing the papers on a house down there. And
we were
willing to drive 5 hours each way on a weekend.
It's a long haul.
When we lived in Minnesota, we drove to Great Lakes and back. And it was 5 hours each way. So we knew what we were getting into.
Okay.
My son-in-law said, why don't you look down along the Potomac River? I put my boat in at Colonial Beach. And I was thinking Aquia Harbor and those places, thinking I'm not going to be able to afford a weekend home in those places.
Mm.
But we went ahead. We came down to Colonial Beach. We brought our bicycles with us. And we stayed overnight in a hotel. We spent the entire weekend driving up and down every single street in Colonial Beach on our bicycles.
Nice.
And decided this is it.
That was it. That just one weekend convinced you.
One day.
Undo all of your plans.
Absolutely. One day convinced us. The next weekend we came down and started looking for houses. And within a month we had found the one we want. And
I bet the house seller in Roanoke wasn't happy with you.
Well, we just called him and said no, and we never heard from him again.
That's the way real estate deals work.
Right.
You move on. That's what you have to do. But that's amazing. And I think it's one of the cool things about this town is that the people who get it really get it and get it quickly. You know, it's like you come here and you go, this is such a cool place.
It really is. It's a nice, quiet little town. We have our busy weekends when we have our festivals and things like that, 4th of July, but hey, it's what it's all about. I actually enjoy that excitement as well. When the town gets real busy and it's packed, we just had Memorial Day, it was packed and I loved it. But there's so much, you know, to do. If you choose to find something to do,
right.
I enjoy going on Saturday mornings with my cup of coffee and riding my golf cart all around town.
As one does.
Yeah. I love it. And we were here actually 10 years before we bought a golf cart.
Yes, I remember I had one before you did.
Yes. And I finally decided that my granddaughter's getting her driver's license this year. Maybe we should get a golf cart.
Good practice.
Yeah, and
doesn't do much harm.
Yeah. So we were leaving town to go look at an antique store, and we drove by the golf cart place, and Bob said, do you really want to get a golf cart? And I said, I think we should. So we pulled in, and we bought a golf cart then and there.
Oh, wow.
We didn't even think about it.
Wow.
We just did it.
Nice.
Oh, you wanted to talk about the tree.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. In our backyard, we had a 325-year-old willow oak that was the oldest willow oak in the country. It was 125 feet tall, and it covered 4 yards. The canopy covered 4 yards. When we moved in, we were told that it was rotting down the middle and that at some point it would probably have to come down. But my philosophy was it's 325 years old. That'll be somebody else's lifetime that'll have to deal with it because I'm not going to be here for more than 30 years. I'm 60 years old.
Mm.
And within the first year that we were here, it basically split down the middle, and half of it fell on three different fences.
So it went across three different lots.
Three different lots, just half of the tree, yeah.
Wow.
At that point, it was weakened so much that it was a liability to leave it up, so we had to take the whole thing down.
Yeah.
We had it cut off at 12 feet.
And that took, that took them, what, a week, two weeks?
Oh, it took them almost a month. It was so rainy out, and RC Tree Service was doing all of the work, and they had all their trucks in the yard. The trucks got stuck in the mud for like a week. They brought a crane in because they had to lift
big branches.
Huge yeah. branches that are the size of big normal trees.
Yeah.
The crane got stuck. The thing took a month
wow.
to cut down, and RC said he's never doing a big tree like that again.
Learned his lesson, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, right.
And then you've now turned it into a really cool conversation piece. It's still 12 feet tall, the trunk of it.
Yeah. And on top of it, we built a lighthouse room up there with a railing around it, and the grandkids can climb up and play on it. And then it has a pergola around it for shade, because when we lost that tree, we lost shade
not only for
blocks. and all
blocks.
Of a sudden, all the landscaping I had done for shade was in sun, and
yeah.
had to redo all the landscaping.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we needed some shade back there. So
all those plants would wither and die, wouldn't
yes,
they?
Yes, yeah, and they did.
Yeah.
But the pergola helped provide some shade, and then I planted more trees, and in time they have grown enough to give shade.
Yeah. It's everybody who comes by. Comments on that lighthouse that you built. It's
yeah,
a really cool feature.
We often say if we had a nickel for everybody who stopped and pointed at the lighthouse, we could have paid for the lighthouse.
Well, that's cool. I think that's really cool. This has been wonderful. And we're just sitting on the porch. And so if you've heard traffic going by or the trees rustling as they are.
It is a wonderful day. Sometimes you can actually hear the beach, the waves crashing on the beach.
Yeah.
From here, I mean, we're one block in, and you can hear the kids playing and laughing on the beach, and that's my favorite time when I could just sit out here and listen to the water and the kids playing and the leaves in the trees, and it's just so peaceful.
Well, you're another green thumber like Chris, so I know
yeah.
you really.
Yeah.
We used to watch you. Do your gardening in the middle of the night.
I did, because that's the coolest time of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
And we have lights set up so that, you know, they're remote, or they're motion sensors. So when you walk into different parts of the backyard, which is huge because we have a double lot, the lights turn on. So I could go out there at 3 a.m. and do my gardening. And
yeah, you were a bit of an insomniac.
I was. And often the police patrolling the area would stop and chat with me, so I'm probably known as the crazy lady who gardened in the middle of the night, but it was the coolest time of the day.
Well, we called you, when we first moved here, we called you the night watchman, because we
yeah.
knew if anybody was going to try anything in our house, somebody was going to see it.
Well, and because we're on the corner and all of our windows face the streets, and they're the biggest windows that we have. You see everything that goes on just sitting in the living room
yeah.
or the dining room.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of fun too, just watching the world go by.
I know we enjoy it, and that's what porches are all about.
Yeah.
We just sit out here and watch who comes by. And one of the cool things about the porch is people dropping by or whatever. So. In future installments of this show, my idea is that maybe we'll just be sitting out there and I'll be interviewing somebody, but then maybe somebody else will show up, and you know, the conversation bends and twists and goes wherever it's going to go.
Just porch talk.
Just porch talk. Yeah.
yeah.
So, thank you for being my first guinea pig on this little experiment. I have to say, I've talked to a couple of different people about the idea of it, and I've had good responses. And apparently, Coach Swope is already lined up that he's willing to do one with me.
Oh, that would be a great one. He's got stories.
Exactly. So, thank you very much, and we'll put this one in the can and get ready for another one.
Well, you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, neighbor.
Thank you.